Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Excited tonight. As everyone is very well aware, there are not just one, two Walmarts coming to our area. One, of course, that we are very excited about is here in the city of Milton.
All right. So this is my, I'm checking to see if everybody knows what Stephen Prestestater, I would say his name wrong, everybody does, is right in thinking what everybody knows. John, you live in Milton.
I do.
There's a Walmart.
I see a Walmart grocery market coming up right now.
But there's one now on 90, right? Yes. Of course, obviously.
It's not open yet, but we're still.
No. The one that's been there.
Oh, yeah. The original one up in Pace. Yeah.
Did you know that there were two Walmarts coming to the Milton area?
I only knew of the grocery market coming.
Okay. All right. I also did not know, and that's why I'm telling, because it was interesting information to me in the Milton City Council meeting. No drama this time. Oh, my God. I didn't watch. This is like the meeting before. This is like last Thursday or something. This meeting was so boring. This meeting, the only thing they even remotely was controversial was they, and that, by the way, that's a compliment sometimes. I mean, sometimes good government is boring. You just do the stuff you're supposed to do. And Mike Cusack was missing. Unrelated? Anyway, so the only minor point that could have been interesting was, remember that code of conduct for members of boards and councils, and you know what I've called the Howard Steele protocols?
Yes.
You know, that you've got to be nice to the city council members and you've got to give them the appropriate honor due to them and their position and accomplishment in life. That's not even an exaggeration. That's actually what the rules said. It's not a quote, but it's a paraphrase. By the way, that wasn't on the agenda on Tuesday.
Oh, it wasn't?
They pulled that. Yeah, it's going to go back to the workshop.
Somebody
might have heard our conversation about how terrible this idea was.
Needs to go back to the workshop.
Yeah. So anyway, no real controversy. But I thought the announcement about the two Walmarts, for people who may not know, was interesting. This is Bernie from the Milton store.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I am so excited to be home. I've lived 2 miles from my store. So, you know, who would have thought after 33 years with Walmart, I'd get to be right next door to my house?
I mean, that's cool.
We are just glad to be here. We open August 6th, so I'd like to invite all of you to come to our grand opening. We are still in the beginning stages of preparation. We actually move our system tomorrow. So we will be in the building Monday.
Yeah, so this is a meeting that was about a week and a half ago, so that's actually, you know, like 4 or 5 days ago. But still, that's pretty cool. And I love that she's a longtime, you know, employee, and now she gets to manage the one that's, like, you know, pretty close to her home. This is Paul from the Pace store, the other location that's opening.
My name is Paul, and I'll be the store manager of the location in Pace. And I just kind of want to give you an update on where we're at. We're going to be about 5 weeks behind Bernie. We're going to open up September 17th to the public.
Pretty dramatic just to go from, you know, one to three course of a month, right?
Maybe they'll spread the people out to where I don't have to.
Yeah, no kidding. I bet that'll be a big advantage.
Where are y'all going to be located?
At Berry Hill and West Spencerfield in Pace. Yeah.
There you go. So, you know, just cool little note. Also, kind of an interesting note, Vernon Compton, who's a former city council member, was talking about the, I always get the exact order of these words wrong, the Escambia Perdido Bay Estuary Program. It's a long name. It's the estuary that got its federal designation last year. And, you know, pretty good progress so far, a pretty good grant.
You can see the really aggressive goals of the estuary program, working with partners, and the real big cost associated with making that habitat improvement. But the good news is a $10 million grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Federation was received, and that's going to be the first big effort of increasing oyster habitat on 250 acres. So that's what we would call phase one of getting it started.
That's 250 acres of water, by the way. That's not 250 acres of land. That's a great news announcement.
And a quote there at the bottom from Pasco Gibson, whose family's been here forever and working in the oyster industry. He said, "The bay system has changed pretty dramatically over my 50 years working on it. When I was a young fellow with my grandfather, I'd see 20 to 25 boats oystering every day. And that's what we want to see again in our area. So that's what this effort's going to help make happen.
Yeah, good news. Really good news. It's Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary Program. So PPBEP. Or PPBEP. Or PPBEP. Triple P with B inside? I don't know. PPBEP.
Squared.
It's the PPBEP. It's not a beautiful name. But it does describe Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary Program, because it's Pensacola Bay. It's not Pensacola City. Pensacola Bay, Perdido Bay, Estuary. PBPBEP. There's no good way to
PB
make it.
And J.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Oh, one last good note from the Milton meeting.
So it sounds like the general consensus right now, pre-budget, is to maintain the millage rate at the current amount, and we'll plan on that for the budget workshop.
There you go. It's basically all good news. So, fine. Excellent. Well done. I know some of you are like,
bravo.
Where's the drama, Andrew? Well, sometimes there isn't any. Well, but don't you want it? Well, I mean, it makes for good radio. But you know what else makes for good radio? Good government. Well,
for the most part.
It can make for good radio. I like when things go well. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on Highway 29 going northbound toward 9 Mile Road, you're going to see just some minor delays there. Let's see here. Also, 98 is looking good. It's flowing smoothly. Garcon Point Bridge. Everything looks good. Other than that, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Being chosen to fly with the Blue Angels is a great honor and a career-topping assignment, but it is not without risk. Since 1946, 263 fighter pilots have flown with the Blues, and 19 of them were killed while flying with the team. The fatality rate of 7.2% far exceeds that of the Navy's overall fleet. On October 28, 1999, Lieutenant Commander Kieran O'Connor was flying the two-seat number 7 jet during circle and arrival maneuvers in Valdosta, Georgia. In the back seat was Lieutenant Kevin Colling, who had just been selected to join the team for the following season. The plane went down, and both pilots perished. In April 2007, the Blue Angels were performing at the Marine Corps Air Station in Beaufort, South Carolina, when Lieutenant Commander Kevin Davis in the number 6 jet reported by radio that he was out of position for a rendezvous with the other 5 jets. He pulled a 6.8G turn in an effort to catch up with his teammates. But Davis had insufficient airspeed and altitude to maintain flight control and was killed in the crash. Because it was so early in the season, former Blue Angel Lieutenant Commander Craig Olson, who had previously flown both number 5 and number 6 solo positions, was brought back to the Blues for the remainder of the 2007 season. 9 years would pass without a fatality, but on June 2, 2016, Marine Corps Captain Jeff Koos was practicing the split S maneuver for the Great Tennessee Air Show in Smyrna when his jet hit the earth. Although he ejected, he did not survive. The Blue Angels were grounded when a budget battle in Washington resulted in significant cuts to the Defense Department. On March 1, 2013, the Navy announced the cancellation of the Blue Angels season after just 2 air shows. The team resumed flying in 2014. The Blue Angels' 2015 season saw their first female aviator on the team when Marine Corps Captain Katie Higgins, a 2008 graduate of the Naval Academy, began flying in the flight deck of Fat Albert, the Lockheed Martin C-130 Hercules. April 2017 was a busy month at Sherman Field on board NAS Pensacola as the Blue Angels hosted 2 flight demonstration teams. Early in the month, the Blues were joined for a few days by the French Air Force's flight demonstration team, the 8-plane Patrouille Acrobatique de France. That occurred just days after they and the Blues performed at the Sun and Fun International Fly-In at Lakeland, Florida. 2 weeks later, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds visited for 3 days of joint training exercises that concluded with the two teams performing a combined flyover along Pensacola Beach. I'll be back with more after this.
As Florida's number one Invisalign and braces provider, Fishbein Orthodontics is proud to serve the community with 9 convenient locations along the Gulf Coast. And for the week of July 14th through the 18th, Fishbein Orthodontics is offering a flash sale just in time for back to school. $1,000 off braces or Invisalign. Start your smile journey today with a free consultation. Take advantage of the back to school flash sale July 14th through the 18th only. Visit fishortho.com. Your dream smile is closer than you think.
The Blue Angels flight demonstration is a spectacular sight. Come along as we attend an air show in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter-pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Blues at the Beach is back this weekend. On your way to the show, both Friday and Saturday, listen to News Radio 92.3 for traffic information and special programming from the beach, including the broadcast during the Blues Saturday performance. Don't forget your radios to hear the commentary of the show on News Radio 92.3. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I felt his life might be in danger once word of the letter got out.
Grave danger?
Is there another kind?
Good morning, 621 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I'll go on then. Oh, so good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning. The European Union says a conditional trade deal with the U.S. could be reached in coming days.
The U.S. has not sent a letter to the EU detailing a new tariff rate. EU officials hope this is a positive sign, but warn that should no deal be reached, the bloc could deploy countermeasures as early as next week, worth roughly $25 billion.
Correspondent William Denslow there. The Trump administration pushing back the deadline for an agreement until August 1st, when tariffs on European goods could jump to 50%. And hang on.
Is that a question for me?
No, I had to switch to a different page here. President Trump's nominee to lead NOAA says the deadly flooding in Texas is a wake-up call for better forecasting. Neil Jacobs, he's telling senators that if he is confirmed, he plans to prioritize staffing at the local National Weather Center offices and upgrade the forecasting systems. And Olivia Rodrigo is putting mental health first on tour, covering therapy costs for her band and her crew. Her guitarist, Daisy Spencer, says that support has been a real gift and helped reignite the value of mental health care.
So on the one hand, I want to say that's pretty cool. And on the other hand, I want to say, rock and roll is dead. Because when I think of what happens on a rock tour, not. Well, tell me how you're feeling today. Are you processing the trauma of last night's mishap? Healthily? Are you getting enough sleep?
It's definitely a new era, right?
I don't think that's what it was like when the Stones toured. Or Van Halen. Or literally any other band in the entire known universe. But, okay, I mean, yeah.
Left behind a trail of trashed hotel rooms and therapy sessions.
You can't really, you know, I'm mocking something that actually sounds pretty healthy, but it just seems so Gen Z. It just seems so my feelings these days. You know, that was a hurtful thing that you said to me in the meeting the other day.
I need a mental health day.
Exactly. Oh, every time we bring this up, I get angry texts from people. How dare you? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, since we're in this vicinity, where was the story? This wasn't on my, like, I wasn't planning to talk about this at this exact moment. But since we're there, the headline that I saw was, never say these things to your children. These are the verboten parenting phrases. Here's the headline, the actual headline. Never say these toxic phrases to kids if you want them to actually listen and behave, according to a child psychologist. Okay, here you go. Literally right. Everything on this list is something that your parents said to you.
Exactly.
Number one on the list, would this surprise you at all, John? We could make this a frivolous topic.
We could.
Anyway, because I said so.
Oh, yes.
But see, because I said so is a perfectly appropriate thing to say to a kid.
It is. Because I don't have to explain to you.
You're the parent. They're the kid. That's the relationship. That's what authority means. See, if you explain it, then what you're saying is you're equals. And you deserve a rational explanation. You're not equals. They do not deserve a rational explanation. Andrew, what? Listen, there are times to explain. And there are times that you tell them, shut up and do what I said. Because they need to know how to obey when they don't agree, when they don't understand, when they disagree. Well, Andrew, that's not very validating. They're children.
Because I said so.
It doesn't have to be validating. That's the problem, is you think it always has to be validating. Sometimes kids need to know how to take an order and do it. Because guess what? In their lives, there will be many times they will have to take an order and do it. And they need to know how to do that. This is a terrible word. They need to know submission to authority, whether they're playing a sport or working at a job or being married sometimes involves that. There are times when you need to know how to the police officer who gives you an instruction. Well, explain it. You need to just do it. So well,
explain to me exactly how.
Because I said the expert child psychologist, Reem Rauda, says, because I said so, has been coming out of parents' mouths since forever. It's not effective at all. No, it's effective.
Always very.
Yeah. Because I said so shouts down communication and teaches blind obedience. Exactly.
That's the point.
Which they need to learn. Now, the other extreme is the parent who never explains. Oh, that's bad, yes, too. But, there needs to be time for, I'm the parent. That's it. My house, my rules. That's it. Right? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Thanks. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, 90, 98. I'm not seeing any delays right now, which is great news. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, especially, minivans, where you can turn around in the back seat and say, because I said so. It's true. Or other phrases we'll get to in a second. But seriously, a great selection of good quality vehicles, trucks and vans and SUVs and sports cars and sedans. And, I recommend you go sample a few. Don't drive just one or two. Go ahead and drive five or six, and see what's out there and see what you like and don't like. And if they've got it at a good price for the miles and the year that you want, get it. If they don't have it exactly and you want something that's, fewer miles for a little bit higher price or a little bit older for a little bit lower price and they don't have it in stock, they'll go looking for you. They do that all the time. They buy cars all the time. I mean, literally, they're always buying cars. That's how you sell cars and keep 300 in stock, right? Because you got to replace. By the way, if you have one to sell, they're a great place to sell a car, too. If you have one that you want to sell off to them, they will buy them from you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Some of the other phrases, I just thought this article was amazing to me. This so-called child psychologist expert says, instead of telling kids, because I said so, say, I know you don't like this decision. I'll explain, and then we're moving forward. Well, good. That's an outstanding way to raise a wussy and or somebody who does not know how to respond to authority. Because that models respectful leadership. Okay. But there are also times for disrespect. There are times for disrespect. This phrasing acknowledges their feelings and reinforces that you're in charge in a calm, grounded way.
Calm, grounded way is me not. Yeah.
I mean, have you ever met actual people are you preparing them for a world that's filled with actual people? Oh, my goodness. Another popular tactic used by frustrated parents is making a threat by saying, if you don't listen, you're going to lose blank, which these days is basic your devices.
Right.
Right. You know, you're either going to turn off the Wi-Fi or they're going to lose, you know, they'll lose the laptop, so they have to go on the phone, lose the phone, so they have to go on the Meta.
And it's like
so,
the
if they lose the Meta,
end
they have
of
to go on
world.
It. Right. Okay. Yeah. You know what? There are times when consequences make people behave and do what they're supposed to do. And if you've been a parent of children and you've not run into a situation where you are at your wit's end for how to get them to do what they need to do for their benefit, if you haven't had that experience, you just haven't been parenting long enough.
Exactly.
You must not have teenagers. It's certainly not more than one. But you get to a point where I mean, consequences is what it takes. Like in life, you know, if you don't obey the speed limit, you get a ticket. If you don't pay your tax, we take your house. If you don't not shoplift, we throw you in jail. I mean, like, you know, it's you're preparing them for a world full of stuff. It doesn't mean you always handle it that way. It just means it has to be in the bag. The toolkit has to include this choice. She says, instead of that, you should say, when you're ready to do blank, then we can do blank some desirable activity. Oh, good, bribe them. Sure, sure. Bribe your kids every time they need to do. No, carrot and stick, both, you know, are useful. Anyway.
Boy. Oh, boy.
It's amazing. I mean, this is somebody with a PhD.
I don't know what in.
Who says?
Or
you know,
science.
My best threat by my mom, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And I can make another one just like you.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. More questions and threats. 1 year after Butler, Fox's Alexis McAdams.
1 year after her husband was killed at a Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, Helen Comparator demanding accountability from the Secret Service.
I want to sit down and talk to them. I have the right to. They need to listen to me.
And President Trump commenting on a top Iranian threatening to hit Trump with a drone in the belly at Mar-a-Lago. Trump tells Fox he hasn't sunbathed since he was seven. Texas Governor Abbott calls a special session on recovery and weather warnings after the Hill Country flash floods that left 120 dead, 170 missing. Kerr County held a vigil of blessing. President Trump adds a job for Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, interim NASA administrator. Duffy posting on X, he is honored, and let's launch. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 78 degrees right now. We've got clear skies and sunshine this morning. We'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a couple of minutes. Today is a bit of a somber anniversary in the Panhandle. 20 years ago today, Hurricane Dennis made landfall as a Category 3 storm in Navarre Beach. The National Weather Service says there were no direct deaths tied to that storm, but two people in Escambia County did die of carbon monoxide poisoning from improper use of generators. Pensacola recorded 7.5 inches of rain in the storm. Navarre recorded wind gusts of over 100 miles an hour in the storm. Surge in Navarre was about 6.5 feet. The driver of an SUV was life-flighted from a crash site after going into a seizure while driving yesterday. That happened on State Road 89 around Hunters Creek Road when the driver ran off the road and hit a tree. The SUV rolled. Witnesses attempted to provide aid. The driver was identified as a 34-year-old Gulf Breeze man. He was life-flighted to a local hospital. There's no word on his current condition. Well, all hands will be on deck today for the Red, White, and Blues Air Show starting today at Pensacola Beach. This year, there is a new 250-yard vessel exclusion zone on the sound side of Pensacola Beach. The goal of that is to provide access for first responders.
Hoping we don't have to use it, but we're there in case we need it.
Mike Burns is Santa Rosa Island Authority's executive director. Officials say there will be 4 crewed ambulances on site as well. Doctors will be present at the medical tent. And officials say there will be an effort to treat people on site when possible this year to cut down on how many people have to be taken to the hospital for more common issues like heat illness or dehydration. The sheriff's office says at least 80 deputies will also be on hand across the island as well. Air performances do start today. The Blues fly too. Tomorrow is the full dress rehearsal. And the big show, of course, is Saturday. More than 200,000 people are expected to be at Pensacola Beach. Well, changes are coming to Florida's unemployment policies.
So much for statewide working agreements. Florida has enacted legislation that allows companies to enforce non-compete employment agreements for up to 4 years. That's up from the current 2 years. With the new arrangement, employees leaving a company would be relieved of their job responsibilities, but severely restricted from working elsewhere. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Pensacola City residents will have access to paid parking spots at a special rate
soon. We will be offering to every city resident. They will have 50% off parking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, parking anywhere in the city. So they'll have to verify with Park Mobile, with us, and we'll, more details on that, whether that's a power bill or something like that. But if you'll verify that you live in the city, and then your Park Mobile app will automatically only charge you half the rate and no transaction fee.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says the city is hoping to implement parking permit programs for residents as soon as this fall. Could happen, though, as soon as next month. They're also working on a program for senior citizens, which would be a monthly flat rate program registered by license plate so they don't have to use the Park Mobile app. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90 are flowing smoothly. You're seeing some minor delays southbound on Highway 29 as you approach Nine Mile Road. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, 40% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping our nice pattern into the weekend with a 40% chance of rain on Saturday, high near 90 degrees and a low near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have mostly clear skies, some sunshine. It is 78 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields held steady this morning as President Trump's trade war intensified, with Brazil being hit with fresh levies and new tariffs on copper imports being announced. The 10-year Treasury yield was little changed at 4.35%, and the 30-year yield was around one basis point higher at 4.882%. Bitcoin topped 112,000 on yesterday afternoon, notching a new record. The flagship crypto's rise came on a day when investors returned to risk-on mode, driving the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite to a record close. Delta Airlines shares jumped 10% after the airline said it expects 2025 adjusted earnings of between $5.25 and $6.25 a share. This is down from the January forecast of more than $7.35 a share. Delta's third quarter earnings and revenue forecasts topped estimates. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 217. The NASDAQ up 192. That's Your Money Now.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim & Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim & Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Yeah.
Here in Pensacola, we love our Blue Angels, and we'll get to watch their spectacular performance at the Pensacola Beach Air Show in July. But how much do you know about the fascinating history of the Blue Angels? Did you know the original name of the team was the Blue Lancers? Did you know the Blue Angels shot down Japanese Zeros during air shows? Did you know that Fat Albert once saved lives by preventing a plane crash at sea? Take to the skies and learn these interesting stories, plus lots more, as News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 presents The History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15 through the 11th of July. This special broadcast is sponsored by Calvert's in the Heights. It's the history of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15 right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
What's the frequency, can at this yard bend some train? Time is not because we have a shortage of employees, it's because people are calling in and taking off work, correct? I mean, that's why there's all this overtime. Not because we're not filling FTEs, it's because of people taking time off. I mean, can you clarify that?
That particular workforce over there, 80% is on intermittent FMLA, which means they can call out once a week, twice a week. They have a doctor's excuse. And so in order to make up those routes, we've had to cancel routes at some time, some days.
The what now? This is at the budget meeting. Escambia County Commission had their budget meeting on Tuesday, and they were talking about all kinds of different things. And the topic of the flex transit or micro transit for ECAD had come up. And Wes Moreno there, County Administrator, and Lumen May were talking about the problem of 80% of the workforce at ECAD is on intermittent FMLA. And that's why you're having this challenge of staffing. So let's start there. Wes Moreno, he's a county administrator at Escambia County. Wes, as always, thank you so much for the time joining us before we have a meeting. Today you get a double dose. You got the meeting with the city, and then you got the regular meeting tonight. But welcome back to the show, first of all, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here.
Hey, great to have you. So before we get to the good stuff on the Flex Transit, which you and I talked about before, and I think is a wonderful program, can you explain this? Because this seems just outrageous to me that I don't really know what intermittent FMLA means, but this sounds like a huge problem.
Yeah, Family Medical Leave Act is what it is, and there's two ways to implement it, or there are two ways to take advantage of it. One is if I'm going out for surgery, say I've got to have my big toe operated on or something of that nature, and I'm going to be off more than 3 days, I'll go on FMLA with the doctor's excuse with an expected time to return. And then I'll bring a doctor's excuse back, clear me to come back to work. Say I'm off a week or 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever it is.
Right.
And then the other option is what they call intermittent FMLA, where you may have something chronic or maybe a family member has something chronic going on, and you bring your documentation in, and the doctor recommends you to be on what they call intermittent FMLA, which means that you may wake up this morning and say, well, I'm feeling this particular issue that I'm dealing with, so I'm not going in today. So they call out. And I don't know why it's so widely rampant over at ECAT. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad program. It does certainly has its place. But when you have 80% of your workforce on intermittent FMLA, it's hard to schedule. It's hard to manage. And as I said in the meeting, there was one weekend we had to cancel some routes because people just called out, and so it does make it difficult. And it is a challenge.
Yeah, So it makes sense why. I knew what regular FMLA was. I didn't know what intermittent was, but it makes sense. You or a family member, I get it. But that is a huge. What's a normal percentage in like other workforces that you have across the county? I mean, if I had to take a stab, I'd say it's more like 20% or something. But what is the normal?
I would say it's maybe not even that high. I know when I was at Public Works, you know, we had over 200 employees there. I may have three on intermittent FMLA,
right,
or maybe two.
Right.
You know, it's just not a large number, usually, not on intermittent FMLA. And so, and you know, the thing is, if you don't have leave time, you don't get paid. So typically what happens is, you know, they'll build up a couple of days and all of a sudden, oh, I'm calling out. And, but if you go to look at the leave balances, and that's not just the head, I mean, it could be any department, but you go look at the leave balances of some of those employees, and, you know, they may, at Public Works, I had some there 10 years and they may have 5 hours of annual leave, you know. They just don't do a very good job of managing their leave or managing their attendance, if you will.
Okay. Well, I mean, this seems like a problem. I don't know what the source of it would be either. It sounds like a cultural problem in the sense of, you know, there's somehow leadership has allowed this to develop over the years. And I know the county kind of acquired, you know, the union, you know, it used to be out of house, now it's in-house and all of that. But I guess switching a little bit to the same subject, but slightly different one, which is the Flex Transit. That's the vans that you basically call for on your app, which sounds like it's working gangbusters. And based on what I understood from the conversation, you have people want to drive. All they have to have is a driver's license. People want the work. They show up. You just don't have this same problem. So as we're trying to create a more nimble, cost-effective public transit system, we're kind of solving the problem because we're moving to people who want to do the work. Am I reading the situation correctly?
Yeah. So right now we're using temporary labor, temporary drivers, if you will.
Okay.
To drive the vehicles and
like to study the situation and see what you
yeah,
get.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're in the pilot program. And so we, you know, that group is excited. They show up, they want more hours. I mean, they're there, they want to drive. And the feedback from the ridership has been very, very positive. It just seems to be a better system, a better way of taking advantage of mass transit. We're actually going to order quite a few more of these vehicles here shortly. And we're going to spread it out throughout all of Escambia County. And as we do that successfully, you know, we'll see some change take place there in mass transit as far as the big buses and some route eliminations and some of those things. But it's been very positive. The feedback's been tremendous.
Wow. I mean, competition, better service. I mean, I all around, sounds like a great thing. So I'm excited about that. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Again, we got two meetings today, the joint meeting with the city council to talk about the Bay Center, and then the regular meeting where there's a ton of stuff on the agenda. We'll get to some of that in a second. Hold on just a second. Wes, John Pickin has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound around 10 Mile Road. So just be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Wes Moreno. Wes, I was looking over the agenda yesterday. I saw something on the agenda, and when I saw it, I about fell off my chair because I thought, oh my God, finally. The Paradise Beach Fire Station land swap deal for the old Station 20 got closed down years ago, and the Navy, we're actually voting on that today?
We are voting on that tonight, yep. That would be the last step in transferring that property over to Escambia County. As you heard Commissioner Hoffberger a couple weeks ago with the fire station initiative, which we're already moving in that direction to bring that to fruition. So we also are closing on a piece of property with Waste Management for Pleasant Grove. So there's some things shaping up there in fire services for new firehouses. But the thing with the Navy is a big deal. It's been a long time in the works. There's been a lot of red tape, if you will. And the staff's done a great job working through it all step by step. But that is going to be a huge game changer for the folks in Paradise Beach area.
Oh, that's amazing. And you and I for years have been talking about this. And so this goes back many, you know, politicians ago and many administrations. And so that's great to see this actually coming to fruition. Another, I think, very substantial topic on the agenda tonight is you have the MSBU changes for fire service. And if I understand this correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, basically the mainland is going to about double It's going to go from 125 to 227 a year. And then the island is going to become its own entity where SRIA is collecting, again, correct me if I'm wrong, 75% of the lease fee instead of 50%. The extra money is going to go to pay the county for whatever the cost of fire service on the beach is. So they're basically being treated like kind of their own independent entity that's contracting with fire service for the county. Do I have that right?
That is exactly right. That's what's going to happen. And I have to give a huge shout out to Mike Burns, executive director. They're the Island Authority. He's really done a great job helping us out with this issue. And I think it's a win-win for the folks out on the beach and the leaseholders. And it's a good thing here on the mainland. I mean, I know it's an increase. You know, we very rarely, very seldom ever increase what we would call a tax or a fee. But in this case with fire services and all of the expansion and growth, we just had to have this conversation, and so I'm hoping for good things tonight at the meeting as far as getting these things approved.
Two kind of detailed questions. One is, I thought I heard you say early in the meeting that the fire service changes were not built into the budget for next year. Does that mean that they don't go into effect when they're voted on, or what, they just weren't factored into the numbers?
So, for the budget workshop, what we had built in, because we didn't know, we don't even right now. I mean, I expect that the MSBU increase will pass.
Because
it hasn't been to a vote, you know, it was not, that increase was not built into the budget as it sits.
Got it.
If it is passed, then we'll take that transfer out of the general fund and put it back, probably into reserves or some of it into reserves. A lot of it's going to go as a set aside to pay for other public safety things. In the future, you know, next year, the sheriff's budget and corrections and fire and EMS, you know, we'll have it set aside, and then we'll replace it with the MSBU fees.
Do you know offhand what that about $100 individual increase, what that's going to revenue for the county? What's the ballpark for the change, the delta in funding for ECFR?
It's a little bit more than what we're transferring right now, so probably about 12 to 14 million.
Okay, and will that cover the current cost?
That will cover the current cost. Okay. Actually, I think we'll get about 8 to 10 years out of this.
Okay, and is there a build-in for increases in the future, or is this a flat fee that's going to stay there until they change the fee?
This is a flat fee that will stay there until they change the fee.
Got it. Okay. All right. Very good. One of the other things I know is on the agenda for today is to talk about the study for traffic improvements on the beach, including the potential for developing a parking garage. I think it's about $600,000 for Mott MacDonald. And, man, parking garages. I think the one that Florida West HCA built was like $40,000 a space. But that's one of the things they're going to look at, right?
It's not cheap. That is one of the things they're going to look at, how to bring traffic onto the island to include a parking garage structure. So how do we do that? What does it look like? What are the alternatives going to be? They'll bring all that to us, and we'll make some decisions at that time as to what's the best route to go or what's the best alternative. But as you know and the public knows, traffic onto the beach has grown immensely. You know, we have record number of days, 25,000 cars plus.
Yeah.
And that's just the cars coming onto the island. That's not the folks that fly in and Uber to their hotel or condo. You know, it's just a lot of traffic going, moving parts and pieces out there on the island.
And since we're kind of in that vicinity, obviously it's Blue Angels weekend. Today is not the horrible day for traffic. I mean, it can be around 2 o'clock. It'll be probably after about 10. But tomorrow and Saturday, of course, are the real high peak days. In Santa Rosa County, the Navarre Beach Causeway, they turn into a northbound only lane starting at 3 o'clock, and then it goes for about 2 hours until traffic clears from the Blue Angels show with the practice. Even that's tomorrow and Saturday, I assume. But you tell me if I'm wrong. We can't really do that on Bob Sykes Bridge because it's two bridges, and the way the roads are configured to try to run all traffic northbound on those four lanes, especially the way it interacts with Highway 98. At the Sailfish sign, like, there's just no way to do it. I assume if it could be done, you would do it.
Yeah, you're right. There's just no way feasible to be able to do that. The effect, traffic coming off 98, traffic coming off the Bay Bridge and Gulf Breeze, and there's just no way to really accomplish that and still maintain ingress and egress, you know, emergency vehicles or whatever had trying to get on the beach or off the beach for that matter.
Right. Yeah, and because, I mean, I at first I thought, oh, that would be great. Why don't we? And I'm like, as soon as I said it, I'm like, I know why we don't do that, because you just can't do it with the way the roads are built. Any quick words you want to say as we're running out of time here, Wes Moreno, for the folks this weekend? Obviously, your staff always does fantastic work out on the beach, cleaning up, keeping everybody safe, you know, messaging to the newcomers and all of that kind of stuff. But and even this year, you've got that that boat exclusion zone, so you have better access for the first responders, which I think was a great idea, good improvement, because that back sound side gets so crowded, obviously, for the show. But anything you want to say about the weekend?
Just, you know, Friday and Saturday, get there early. You know, if you know you're going, get there early. Bring plenty of water, plenty of Gatorade, Powerade, stay hydrated. Listen to the first responders. Listen to the water safety, the lifeguards. Don't argue. Don't be argumentative. Comply with them. They're there for your safety. You know, this year we have almost a mobile hospital set up out there with our new medical director, Dr. Abo, and Chris Watts, the EMS chief, doing a fantastic job out there. Dave Greenwood and his folks will be doing a fantastic job. If you have any problems, don't hesitate to ask them a question. They're there to help you. And bring plenty of patients with you. Just be patient. There'll be a lot of people out there.
Pack the extra patients anywhere you can find it. Wes Moreno, he is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, looking forward to the discussion this morning for the Bay Sender. And then tonight, of course, so many things, even some that we didn't quite get to. A lot of stuff on the agenda tonight. Thanks, as always, for the time. I know you got a long day ahead of you, but thanks for spending a few minutes with us this morning. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew, we'll see you now.
Absolutely. 655 News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just some minor delays on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. Just seeing some minor delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Captain Eric here with Gulf Coast Air Tours. Just because the Blue Angels only fly for one day doesn't mean the magic of flight is gone until next time. Keep the magic alive by taking a flight with Gulf Coast Air Tours, Pensacola's only authorized air tour operation, and see the beach the way the Blue Angels do. Why not grab the kids for a personal 30-minute shark patrol, or keep another kind of magic alive and pull that someone special close and sip champagne during a romantic sunset tour? Check out GulfCoastAirTours.com and schedule your flight today. That's GulfCoastAirTours.com.
Attention business and homeowners. Are you tired of that red dirt driveway? Are your customers having to dodge potholes, or even worse, avoiding your business? Let Patriotic Paving and Maintenance pave a way to a better business and a better curb appeal. Patriotic is veteran-owned and operated and servicing the entire Gulf Coast, and offers seal coating, line striping, patching, and full paving, both asphalt and concrete, for residential and commercial. Get a free quote today or get more information at patrioticpavingllc.com. That's Patriotic Paving.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the fall semester is now open. Classes begin August 18th. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I was telling you, so much stuff that's on the agenda for the Escambia County Commission meeting, including voting amongst the options of allowing there to be a referendum to return to an elected superintendent. I cannot believe that we're voting on this again already. But, you know, okay, there it is. So much stuff on the agenda. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. 31 people are safe after an industrial tunnel collapse underground in Los Angeles last night. The workers were trapped 300 to 400 feet below the surface, about 6 miles from the nearest access point. Fire crews from the search and rescue team there were able to get everybody out safely, and no injuries were reported. Democrats pushing back on President Trump's tariff strategy. About 200 lawmakers are backing a lawsuit challenging his use of emergency powers. That's being led by New Hampshire's Jeanne Shaheen. And looks like YouTube is starting to crack down on what type of content you can earn money with and what you can't. They're cracking down on the AI-generated content that's mass-produced and repetitive. A page on YouTube's website now says creators can only upload original material.
So my banana pudding foot pics are still safe, though, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Good God. I don't know what I would do without my side hustle, you know? Or I guess in my case, the side slip and slide. Local.